Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we'll talk about the Heat prepping as if they have a pick in the NBA draft and how they might acquire one.
Then we'll talk about if Karl-Anthony Towns is a player the Heat could build around. Thank you so much for listening and for subscribing. Let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Romillo, credentialed NBA writer. He's covered the Heat for SB Nation, allyoucanheat.com. Cover the league at large for Fanside. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRomillo13.
We'll talk about a trade package for Karl-Anthony Towns and what picture of an iconic Heat moment you'd want hung in your Miami mansion, David. But first, let's talk about the NBA draft. Of course, the Heat don't have a pick in the upcoming draft, but that hasn't stopped the front office from prepping like they do have one. Pat Riley, Andy Ellisberg, Eric Spoelstra, and all their scouts were in Chicago last week for the draft combine, and they'll be at various pro days in the next few days. David, does all this have you think that maybe the Heat are going to try to make a move to get into the draft?
No, not at all. I kind of feel like it's just their due diligence. And obviously, I don't have any kind of insider information. I don't think anybody does. Miami typically plays it very close to the vest. They're doing what they need to be doing. And that's, you know, kind of looking at all opportunities. Now, that's not to say that they won't be active at the draft, which means that they might be able to somehow acquire a draft pick, but it'll be because they're looking to clear some cap space or move a player that's currently on the roster. And by result of that, then they acquire a draft pick. I don't know that they're necessarily targeting a player and saying, this is somebody we have to have that will change the makeup of our roster consistently. The Heat, Pat Riley, the front office in general, I just don't think that they see anybody in this draft as being that kind of player. I don't think they see anybody in any draft being the kind of player that will change the outcome of this roster and this team next season. So,
I think that's what they're trying to figure out, right? Like in this prep, like maybe somebody does jump off to them in the combine or in one of their interviews or the front or something, and maybe that's what they're trying to find out, right? Like, there's really no way of knowing that yet, but I generally agree with you. I don't think that they're actively seeking to get back into the draft. I think they're doing their homework to put themselves in position to get into the draft if they have to, right? Sure. Or if they want to. If the right trade package comes along and, you know, X team says they'll take X player and there's a draft pick attached to that, then Miami knows what to do at least with that draft pick. They have an idea. Because this is the time you put this stuff together. So I agree with you. I don't think that they're actively trying to get into the draft. I don't think they're trying to get a lottery pick or trade up into the draft. But I do think that things happen and they might find themselves in a position where they have to take somebody. And when that happens, you've got to have all this information. Like, this is part of the job. Whether or not you have a pick or not, you've got a head scout, you've got a general manager, Pat Riley, president of basketball operation. Part of your job is to know who's in the draft, regardless if you have a pick or not, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and their head scout is that Chet Kammerer, right? He's the guy who
He's out here on the West Coast.
Yeah. You know, I think you look at Josh Richardson, a player that maybe not a lot of teams thought had that kind of star potential, but he was the guy that was picked in the second round, and now, in retrospect, looks like a steal from that draft. I mean, he's going to get paid a lot of money over the next couple of years due to his extension, but he's, I think, earned it, and he's shown that he can be the kind of player that you can build around and provide a lot of versatile offense and defense, and so I think that's what this team is trying to do, just in case they wind up getting a second-round pick when they trade Hassan Whiteside. So is there a player in this draft that might be in that later part of the draft, maybe an early second round or something like that, that you could see Miami targeting somebody like that?
You know, you're putting me on the spot here. I wasn't ready for that. I haven't done my draft prep. I have not done my job like Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg have. But, you know, Josh Hart, who might go at the end of the first round, backup point guard, kind of like a true point guard, could be a player like that, you know, a senior at Villanova, could be of use to Miami. That tends to be the kind of player that they look at. I think he'll That's go higher point. Than where Miami would be able to get into the draft. Mm-hmm. But who knows? I mean, look, Ira Winderman of the Sun Sentinel wrote this story. He talked with Chet Kammerer, and Kammerer was talking about what it would look like if the Heat got, or what they're really doing in prepping for the draft. And he kind of alludes to the fact that, like, Miami could trade to get into the 20s if they find a player that they really like around there, they feel like they may have the ammo to do that, which would conceivably be a player, right? They don't have draft picks or anything to move. That was really their only asset. So they feel like if they really wanted to get into that spot, they would have the player or package it would take to get into that. And then the second option is then to purchase a pick maybe in the early part of the second round in the 30s and or you know the early 30s or into the 40s, that early part of the second round. They have the capability probably to do both. Like I could see them, you know, you could trade a Kelly Olynyk or a James Johnson and get the 20th pick in the draft. You know, I don't know that they would, but they could, you know. Or you can use some money that you have for next season and you know, allotted for trades and acquiring things, and use that to acquire a draft pick. And if the right player is on the board and the right deal is in front of them, I think that they would do it. So I personally think that they're going to get into the draft. And the reason I say that is because draft picks are so much cheaper than anything else that I just think that for where this team is financially, that they're going to put a premium on maybe buying a second round pick, you know, somewhere in the 30s and maybe getting a player that way to fill out the roster. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I really, other than trading an Hassan Whiteside or a Dragic or a James Johnson, I don't really see them moving into the first round of the draft. And the only way I see them doing that, I wouldn't see them doing it for the draft pick, but it would be like the draft pick in addition to veteran that can contribute right now, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking right now at some potential picks there. There's a couple that stand out. You know, Bruce Brown, a shooting guard from Miami.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a tenacity on defense that Miami would certainly like, and he knows how to shoot pretty well from the perimeter. And then there's another guy, Jalen Brunson. You know, he's got the NBA quote-unquote pedigree. You know, his dad, Rick Brunson, played in the league for a number of years, and he's a guy who played for a number of years in Villanova too, Jalen Brunson. So I mean, he's a guy who's a little bit older, so he'll probably slip a little bit in the draft, although he had a good showing in the tournament, of course. And
that's who I meant, not Josh Hart. Josh Hart played in college last year. That's who I was talking about.
Yeah, he plays for the Lakers. I didn't want to say anything, but yes, he's a current Laker.
You can interrupt me and correct me. It's fine. I don't. You need to don't let me carry on about Josh Hart like he's some draft pick. I sound like I'm an idiot.
No,
I
mean,
I just don't want the listeners to know that.
We're not going to provide the kind of qualitative information on the draft that I think
don't come here for draft talk. Basically, you come here for trying to get draft picks. We'll figure out once we have a draft pick, we'll do our homework.
Absolutely.
But I think that's the right position, right? Maybe a guard if Miami can move on from one of those backcourt guys. I think that they should also be looking for length on the perimeter because I think you can, even if he doesn't end up being your starting small forward next year or whatever.
Right.
Having those guys is always valuable on the roster. So anybody who's, you know, 6'7", 6'8", can kind of resemble a two-way threat could be good enough to take it in the second round and potentially buy your way into a draft pick. Speaking of trades, rumor has it a big name could be on the move from Minnesota this summer. We'll talk about how the Heat can get involved after this quick break. Back with Locked On Heat on a recent episode of the Zach Lowe podcast. Zach Lowe was talking with Brian Windhorst, and they mentioned how things aren't going well between Karl Anthony Towns and the Timberwolves organization, and that teams might be calling about Towns this summer. Towns is one of the best young players in the league, David, seemingly someone you can build a team around. So what we have to ask here is if the Heat can get involved and if they have even the parts of a trade package that could eventually land somebody of the caliber of a Karl Anthony Towns.
I actually think that Miami is kind of best suited to pull off a trade there. I think they can exploit Tom Thibodeau and what he's looking for if he decides to move on from Karl Anthony Towns. Now, we should state there was no clear report. It wasn't like they were saying that a trade was imminent or in the works or anything like that. There's just clearly there's tension there. The team underperformed in the playoffs. They're a kind of tightly wound bunch. I think between the, you know, Jimmy Butler and Andre Wiggins there's not exactly, there might be a duplication as far as their skills are concerned. Wiggins hasn't taken the leap. I know you're not particularly high on Wiggins. Karl Anthony Towns is a guy that they didn't go too much offensively in the playoffs. And unfortunately for Minnesota, it wound up costing them. So he might be looking to expand the role. He might not fit into what Tibbs wants to do. Go ahead.
Tibbs does seem to be frustrated with the lack of progression and development that Towns has taken on the defensive end, right?
Good point.
We know how much of a stickler Tibbs is like, he might just be also ready to move on, which I think you're right. I think that there are executives in the league maybe looking to pounce on Tom Thibodeau, who this is his first time doing this, being in charge of a roster as well as coaching.
Right. I think the Heat have another thing then is you've got Jimmy Butler there. He enters free agency next year. You've got Wiggins signed to this long-time extension there. You're going to be paying him a lot of money. So if you're deciding to move on from Karl Anthony Towns, it's because you're trying to capitalize on the short window that you have there to continue to make it into the playoffs, maybe right. Go a little bit deeper than you did there. That's not going to be a trade for Towns. Isn't going to be to acquire a first-round pick or young players that aren't ready to contribute right away. It's going to be for veterans that can step in and provide what Tibbs is looking for, namely, high-level defense. And I think...
Hey, the Heat sound like they have that stuff.
I think the Heat have some players there, particularly at the center position, that could provide some of the defense that Tibbs might be looking for.
I mean, it would have to be built around Hassan Whiteside, which is weird to think, but you're right. I mean, if you're Thibodeau and you're just at the point where you're frustrated with this bottom of the league defense, and I've said this before, I don't think Whiteside can make a good defense better necessarily, but I think he can make a bad defense average, which in and of itself is a huge leap, right? When you go from bad to average, that's an enormous leap. You could also incorporate Goran Dragic there, who would be an upgrade over Jeff Teague. Maybe do a swap there. Dragic even cheaper than Jeff Teague is. I was trying to think of what a comparable trade for Towns would be, like kind of going back and in what recent trades could you sort of use as like a building block, as a kind of a blueprint, right? Mm. And the only thing I could think of was like Carmelo Anthony from Denver to New York, where he was older at the time. But he was still, getting into his prime, and the Nuggets didn't want to rebuild necessarily from the trade. They kind of wanted to restock. And what ended up happening was that the Knicks traded essentially what ended up being three starter slash high end rotation players, and a first round pick. And they threw in a young Timofey Mozgov, who was a throw in for salary purposes, and a couple second round picks. But essentially, it was built around three starter slash high level rotation guys and a first round draft pick. And Miami can do that. Miami can offer Whiteside, Dragic, and maybe you have to throw in a Justice Winslow, and then after the draft, you send over the 2019 first for a Towns, Gorgui Jang, and Jeff Teague. That might be something, or maybe you throw in a James Johnson, who I think would be a good fit there. Yeah, maybe swap him for a Taj Gibson or something like that if Tibbs' love affair with Taj Gibson is coming to an end.
No, probably not. They're romantically linked for the rest of their careers. I think it's okay. Let's move on then. Is this the right move for Miami? I'm going to say it's not the right move for Minnesota, and I think maybe our listeners might disagree with me, but I think we've heard enough that if they pulled off that kind of trade, the Timberwolves fans would just... There would be a major uproar there. But there's also a sense that maybe Thibodeau has just, refused to adapt. He just doesn't know how to make the kind of changes he needs to as a coach.
If I'm Minnesota, I would fire Tibbs before he has the chance to trade Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, that would be an insane move. But you're right.
They invested so much money in him, though, and it was supposed to be the kind of acquisition that puts this team over the top. So I don't know that they can afford to, though. But at the same time, Karl Anthony Towns is such a young, talented player. He's the face of your franchise, theoretically, for years to come. Can you afford to trade him away?
Unless you think Jimmy Butler is your franchise player long term.
Which he should be.
Which he could be. Well, he could be short term, but long term. Which he's not. I mean, if you're trying to build something long term there, you can't trade. I mean, it would be insane for them to trade Karl Anthony Towns, especially for a package that involved what the Heat would give them. Like, Whiteside, Dragic, and Winslow would not be enough for me if I'm Minnesota. But I'm not Minnesota. I'm not Tibbs. The question that we really want to ask here is, should the Heat want Towns? Is he the player that you can build around? I do think that one thing for Miami, it would signal somewhat of a... Like, Towns can't help you win a championship right now, but I think he could help you do it later on. And I think the main question you have to ask is Towns enough to attract free agents in 2019? Do you think that you can trade for Karl Anthony Towns and continue to develop him, and maybe develop him better than what Minnesota was able to do? And if that's the case, after 1 year of having him, is he enough to start attracting free agents in 2019? Because if you trade for Towns, I think you start to dismantle the roster and sort of tear it down, rebuild it a little bit, start trying to trade those long-term contracts for some salary cap relief for 2019 to try to pair a second superstar with Towns.
I absolutely do. I think he is the face of a franchise. I think he's the kind of player that you can absolutely build around. The idea of him matching up against Joel Embiid for years to come is a really exciting one. I mean, he's an all-star. He's young. He's talented. I think he's smart. He's well-spoken. Mm-hmm. He has defensive problems. He's a little over-eager when it comes to chasing after blocks, and he takes himself out of position way too often. I think Spoelstra would be a little bit better. Juwan Howard would be a little bit better at trying to get him to take that next level as far as his defensive capabilities. It's not that he's a bad defender per se. I think he has the skills. Certainly, he's quick enough. He's long enough. He's got just the right amount of reaction speed or whatever. He can be a better defender. He can even guard guys out on the perimeter. We've seen him do that on a number of occasions. It's just... He again, there are mental lapses there, which I think Spoelstra and other guys on that team and the coaching staff in particular can help erase.
I want to point this out because I think Thibodeau gets a lot – people might have an issue with what you're saying, right? They'd be like, well, if Tibbs can't make him a good defender, who can? I don't know that Tibbs is necessarily a good player development coach. I think he's just a good – he's a good strategy guy. Like, he developed that – that ice the pick and roll, weak side, ignore the weak side defense that has become the number one defense essentially in the league. But he did that in Boston with Kevin Garnett, one of the greatest defenders, right. Rim protectors, overall defenders that the league's ever seen, especially in this generation. A veteran Paul Pierce, a veteran Ray Allen, Rajon Rondo is there. He's just a veteran-laden team that already knew and had developed those skills that he needed to implement that kind of strategy. But that in Chicago, who did he make a better defender? Like, Lou Alding was already a good defender. Joakim Noah was already a great defender. I think he put a system in place that accentuated those skills, but I don't know necessarily that he made those guys individually better at playing defense.
No, that's absolutely fair.
And I think Eric Spoelstra has shown quite the opposite effect. I think he's, you look at a guy like Wayne Ellington, to Kelly Olynyk, to Chris Bosh, he has made individual players much better defensively. We always say on this podcast, you put a player with Eric Spoelstra, he almost immediately becomes 30% better on defense. And I think that would happen with Karl-Anthony Towns. Could you imagine Towns putting up, 25 points and 14 rebounds while also playing average defense instead of really bad defense and then just building on that? I would love to be able to imagine that, to be honest with you. Free agents would absolutely want to play with that. I think he is the kind of guy you build around. We should go back. This is pure speculation. Towns is not necessarily on the move, but I think this is going to be a wild summer, David, when you're just kind of like looking down the list of things that could happen and just sort of speculating wildly. This is certainly on the list of things that could just happen. If Towns is unhappy and Minnesota is unhappy with Towns, who knows? Maybe this could be like as big of a deal as Kyrie Irving being traded from the Cavaliers. I mean, this could be huge.
This is what Miami and Pat Riley have done historically for 20-something years. So this is the right opportunity for him to see smoke and build a fire. So hopefully that's something that we'll hear about in the next few weeks.
Well, that's enough looking forward for now. We'll talk about one of Dwayne Wade's favorite Heat moments in Heat history when we come back after this break. Back with Locked On Heat. According to ESPN's David McMenamin, Dwayne Wade wants LeBron to sign that iconic photo of him celebrating while running ahead of LeBron, LeBron dunking, and he wants to take that photo and hang it in his house. So, David, if you could have one iconic Heat moment signed and framed,
I'm going to defer to you on this one because I know that you've got a couple already picked out, and honestly, they're probably a little bit more iconic than what I'm thinking of. So I think for the sake of our listeners, you should go into yours.
Well, you're going to have to answer at some point. I'll gladly answer first, but I want to hear your obscure, deep Miami Heat deep track. But mine is – so I the first one that came to mind was obviously Ray Allen's shot in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. And I wanted signed by the entire team. I thought that – just having a ginormous version of that in my living room would be pretty cool. But I just don't know. Like, Ray Allen, great shot. Not really on my list at all of, like, favorite Heat players of all time. So do I want that framed in my house? It's one of my favorite moments. I replay the thing on YouTube all the time. But if it's going to be framed in my house, I feel like the player should mean a lot to me, you know? And so I go to Dwayne Wade's This Is My House moment when after he had that steal and that game-winning floater from the three-point line against the Bulls in double overtime, and then gets up on the little stand there and just tells that and just looks at American Airlines Arena and just says, "This is my house, this is my house." I want that. I want that photo looking at Wade as he's standing up, looking at all of his fans, saying, "This is my house." Everybody knows the picture.
Complete with a shocked Eric Reed sitting in front of him as Dwayne Wade leaps under that table.
Yes. And I want the photo with a big silver Sharpie signature from Dwayne Wade and then a little Sharpie signature from
And
Eric.
I love one of the little things that I notice about that is that he's wearing the L Heat jerseys. Remember that when they had their...
Yes.
This celebration, yeah. It's so good. There. I mean, that is absolutely a huge shot. So,
I love the L Heat jerseys, by the way. I thought we should have brought those back. We didn't wear those this year. I think that when you and I, we often talk about, and I think we re-rank our favorite jerseys at least once
those,
a year.
Those weren't on there, I think.
That never makes the cut for some reason. And I think I want to get that back. L Heat, that was a good one.
Maybe we
can
do that next year. If we remember this conversation, we'll certainly talk about that when we bring up uniforms. But as far as iconic images, that was tough because to me, those two are so great. And as much as I want to go back in Heat history and say, I don't know, Rory Spiro hitting a big shot in the first year of Heat history, which I never even saw, or maybe Glenn Rice knocking down a big three-pointer or something like that, maybe even something from the Alonzo Mourning era, I couldn't really think of anything that was, quote-unquote, an iconic shot. All I could think of was, to be honest with you, goddamn Allen Houston's shot bouncing off the rim in 1999. That was the kind of iconic moment that I didn't want to remember.
A photo of Jeff Van Gundy hanging off of Alonzo Mourning's ankle, signed by both of them?
Can we get Alonzo Mourning and Larry Johnson to both sign the same picture? Probably not. That's not a bad option. I'll take P.J. Brown flipping Charlie Ward, perhaps. That might be another good one. But you know what? To me, another, like, I'm thinking of, again, iconic images, the big three and the introductory quote-unquote celebration slash party, whatever you want to call it, when they come up from underground, and it was that incredible celebration, that moment there where the Heat fan base just united as one because of the amazing, tantalizing potential of this trio and the team that they were going to build around. That was before the backlash from the rest of the country, the backlash about the decision, the 9-8 start, the 2011 finals loss, all that. None of that had happened yet. It was just about, you know, the big three and the beautiful potential that they embodied there. And that, to me, is a great image as well. I also thought about, yes,
a picture
absolutely.
Of hope.
I also
should bring a cheery
feeling to
the house.
I also thought of the look on LeBron James's face when he finally gets the championship trophy handed him in 2012. Like, that's for me, that was such a sharp contrast to what he was like in 2013, where he kind of expected to win it, and he was just like, of course I'm going to win the MVP trophy. Of course I deserve the championship trophy. In 2012, it was finally getting that huge monkey off his back, finally relieving the pressure of justifying this decision of coming to Miami and being a part of something. That was a joyful moment that was, I think, pure as his celebration in Cleveland from 2015 when they won or 2016 when they won the championship there. But, you know, another good one, that bloodied Udonis Haslam, that's a pretty good one.
That's a good one. I have that T-shirt on the Heat. Have that at the Heat store. Their court culture series, I think. So I actually have the This Is My House T-shirt with a screen print of Dwayne Wade doing that, and then a screen print of bloody Udonis Haslam. So I proudly wear that on my chest every time I fly back to Florida.
Would you get that signed and framed?
Everybody on JetBlue has. I think I would. I would get it signed and framed by Udonis Haslam and the great employees at Subway. Loyal Haslam.
I love that he's like talking about what his next year would be. We didn't even bring up what the most recent article with Ira Winderman, where he talks about what his role would be. That he doesn't want to coach, as you and I talked about. He just doesn't seem like the kind of guy who could ever slap on a clipboard and tie, but he'd want to be in management. But he's there as part of a celebration of building a subway and a train station there for the Bright Line that's going to be part of Miami's transit system. Amazing.
He should be the official subway liaison between the Miami Heat and the subway franchise.
I don't doubt that
that
he
should
is.
Be his job. Well, there's a lot of wonderful moments in Heat history. This is a great idea, David. It's my idea, and I'm going to call it great. It's tweet us the photo that you would want hung and signed in your Miami mansion. Saying this to the listeners, we want to know. Tweet us at Locked On Heat. What photo would you want signed? What iconic Heat moment would you want hung in your Miami mansion if you had one? But for now, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. We'll have more exit interviews and a mailbag later on this week. Send us your questions and comments by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com or tweet us using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
Wait, you have a mansion?